demigods also become pleased because it's miraculous and glorious. And it is so powerful it can counteract all the results of one's sinful actions. Wherefore, there are different types of men in the world, not all of them pure devotees. Some are karmic, desiring to acquire vast wealth. There are also persons who are only after reputation. Some desire to be elevated in heavenly flats, to go to Dhruva Loka, and others want to please the demigods to get material profits. Here it is recommended by Maitreya that every one of them can hear the narration about Dhruva Maharaj and thus get their desired goal. It is recommended that the devotees, the karmic, and the jnanis who desire to be liberated should all worship the Supreme Personality of God to acquire their desired goals of life. Similarly, if anyone hears about the activities of the Lord's devotee, can achieve the same results. There is no difference between the activities and character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and those of his pure devotees. Anyone who hears the narration of Guru Maharaj and repeatedly tries with faith and devotion to understand his pure character attains a pure devotional flat and executes pure devotional service. By such activities, one can diminish the threefold miseries, miserable conditions of material life. Wherefore, here the word Achyuta Priya is very significant. Guru Maharaj's character and reputation are great because he's very dear to Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hence, the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord are pleasing to hear. Hearing about his devotees who are very dear to the Supreme Person is also pleasing and pleasant. If one simply reads over and over again about Guru Maharaj by hearing and reading this chapter, one can attain the highest perfection of life in any way he desires. Most important, he gets a chance to become a great devotee. Become a great devotee means to finish all the low conditions of materialistic life. Anyone who hears this narration, Dhruva Maharaj acquired exalted qualities like him. For anyone who desires greatness, prowess, or influence, here is the process by which to acquire them. And for thoughtful men who want adoration, here is the proper means. In the material world, everyone is after profit, respectability, reputation. Everybody wants supreme exalted position. Everyone wants to hear about the great quality of the exalted persons. All ambitions which are desirable of the great persons can be fulfilled simply by reading and understanding the nature of Dhruva Maharaj's activities. The great sage Maitreya recommends one should chant of the character and activities of Dhruva Maharaj both in the morning and evening with great attention and care and society of Brahmins or other place born persons. Reported so that only in association of devotees can one understand the importance of the character and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God in the words of devotees. In this verse, it is strictly recommended that Dhruva Maharaj's character be discussed in the society of the twice born, which refers to the qualified Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. One should especially seek the society of Brahmins who are elevated to the position of Vaishnavas. Thus, discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes the character and pastimes of devotees in the Lord, is very quickly effective. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is organized for this purpose and every center of the society, not only in the morning, evening, or noon, practice 24 hours a day. There's continuous devotional service going on. Anyone who comes in contact with the society automatically becomes a devotee. We have actual experiences of many karmis and others come with the society and find a very pleasing and peaceful atmosphere in the temples of this thought. In this verse, the word we janmanam means of the twice born. Anyone can join the Krishna International Society for Krishna Consciousness, be initiated, become twice born. As recommended by Sanatana Goswami, the process of initiation, authorized training, any man can become twice born. The first birth is made possible by the parent, the second birth is made possible by the spiritual father and aid of knowledge. And this last twice born, one cannot understand transcendental characters of the Lord as devotees. Study the Vedas and therefore commit for sutras. Student by academic qualifications, sutra can understand the transcendental science. At the present moment, throughout the entire world, the educational system is geared to produce sutras. A Vedic knowledge is no more than a Vedic sutra. A lot of sutras are prabhav. In the age of Kali, everyone is a sutra. As the whole population of the world consists only of sutras, there is a decline of spiritual knowledge and people are unhappy. The Krishna conscious movement has been started especially to create qualified Brahmins to broadcast spiritual knowledge over the world for thus people may become very happy. Translation by hearing the narration, Dhruva Maharaj, one can fulfill desires for wealth, reputation, increased duration of life. It is so auspicious that one can't even go on to a heavenly planet, Hurricane Dhruvaloka, which was achieved by Dhruva Maharaj, just like Kiri Devota. Demigods also become pleased because the creation is so glorious, and it is so powerful it can counteract all results of one's sinful reactions. So this is a description of the results of hearing this particular story of Dhruva. It's quite common that after a story is told or a scripture is there, then there's a glorification. So we'll see that in Bhagavad Gita at the end. What are the results of reading Bhagavad Gita? So here we have the results of this story. And as we see, most of these are material. You can get money, you can get fame, you can get good health, you can get punya. But this is actually not the real result of the story. No, the real result of the story is bhakti. But to encourage and attract people who have mixed devotion, such glorifications are given. So we'll see this is quite common. Even in the Bhagavad, to attract people of different natures. For that reason also we will see in the Bhagavad, even though it says this scripture rejects all cheating dharmas at the very beginning. Nevertheless, but not expectedly, we would think that Bhagavata would not discuss anything except bhakti. It discusses karma and jnana and yoga as well. So, one of the purposes of that, of course, is to attract people who have other interests. But it's also made clear in the Bhagavata that these are not ultimate processes, so we should not become confused by those explanations. So, similarly, here we see, in spite of the fact that Bhagavatam is rejecting everything impure, still, we see here there is an element of materialistic attraction in this story for some types of people, even though this is not their intended goal. To attract people, such statements are made. So we should carefully distinguish in Bhagavatam between statements which have relative value and those which have absolute value. And we cannot confuse the two. And this goes for all scriptures. They will also make relative statements. For instance, Krishna will say, Karma Yoga is the best. But it's not, it's the lowest. So, we have to be careful that we don't literally take every statement, but see the context of the statement. So here we see all sorts of material things, glorification. Now, it's not wrong, because the story, by hearing the story, one can get all these material benedictions, but this is not the ultimate effect of the story. So, we should understand that these various glorifications are only there to attract others. But because bhakti includes everything, one can get all effects. So therefore it is said that bhakti and mukti stand like maidservants waiting to serve bhakti. Which means that if you perform bhakti, then one can get all material benefits and even liberation, if one so desires. Nevertheless, those practicing pure bhakti will avoid those offers. They will not take anything material or liberation because it's unfavorable for their advancement. In the case of Dhruva, we see actually achieved all these things anyway. He got wealth, he got fame, he got long life, he got punya, he got Dhruva Loka, etc. He achieved all of these things, but he did not want them. When he was 5 years old, he rejected everything for the Lord. Yet, the Lord gave everything. So definitely, by the process of bhakti, these things can be achieved. But generally, the devotees will reject them as being unfavorable for bhakti. In the case of Dhruva, the only reason he accepted them was the will of the Lord. That's all. Otherwise, he also didn't want them. But other people may have great attraction for these things. And they hear the story of Dhruva, they can get those things also. But it is not the best result. The real result is bhakti. However, by good association, such people who have material desires can become purified and attain the level of pure bhakti also. So that is the hope of the Bhagavatam, that even though they become attracted by the material elements, nevertheless, eventually they can get association of devotees and give up those material desires and practice pure bhakti. So, the higher than the material results, of course, is it can give spiritual results. But on the lower level, we have destruction of sin, which ultimately will lead to liberation of the marshana. That also is not desired by devotees. Those people who want to get rid of material suffering can go for liberation, but that is not the desire of the devotees also. So what is the real thing is that one should try for devotion to the Supreme Lord. That is the real goal. And that is mentioned in the next verse. So one attains pure bhakti executes bhakti. But this is the preferred goal of the person who hears about this story. So that is the real goal for the devotee hearing the story. So this story is about the devotee of the Lord. As I mentioned yesterday, the stories of the Lord must include devotees. The Lord does not just act by himself. His actions involve devotees. He does his activities for devotees, on behalf of the devotees, and with the devotees. So in the Lord's Leela, there will always be presence and participation of devotees. In some cases, the devotees become more prominent in the story. So in this case, for instance, we'll see that Dhruva is the most prominent character, and the Lord actually only appears when he's 5 years old, and then when he goes to the Dhruva Loka, then the Lord appears again. So most of the story is about Dhruva himself. Nevertheless, the devotee of the Lord is like the Lord in the sense that when we hear about the devotee of the Lord or the Lord, we will get the same effect. This is favorable for bhakti, for the development of bhakti. By hearing about the devotees of the Lord as well as the Lord, one can advance nicely in the process of bhakti. So here the word achyuta prayachastam, so the activities of one who is dear to the Lord, if one hears these with great faith, and then bhakti develops, bhakti to the Supreme Lord develops. We hear about the Lord and we develop bhakti. We hear about the devotee of the Lord and bhakti also develops. We'll find in the Bhagavatam often the devotee is emphasized. It is through the mercy of the devotee that one can advance in bhakti. In the devotional process, the devotee is a very, very important element. So not only by devotional association, but by hearing about the devotees, we also advance. This is the important element of this story, that it's actually about the devotee of the Lord. So what is the advantage of hearing about the devotee of the Lord rather than the Lord himself? The advantage of hearing about the devotee is that we can find an example of great devotion. If we hear about the Lord, he is the object of our devotion. If we hear about the activities of a devotee, then we see a person who has ideal conduct, and we can understand what should be the character of a real devotee by hearing the activities of this person. So we see that Dhruva was a great devotee, and all of his actions we see were dedicated to the Supreme Lord throughout his life. So then we can become inspired to follow after his example. so the stories of the devotees therefore become an inspiration for how to practice bhakti. And they show the great devotion of that person. And from this we can understand the nature of bhakti and the purity of bhakti. So this is beneficial for the devotees to hear such things. And then here is mentioned also that besides the material benefits, that how one should hear. So one should hear the story in the evening, in the morning or whatever, and with great attention, and in the association of those who are twice born, which means, of course, a person who has taken the Upanayana and has studied the Vedas. Now this, of course, is not an absolute injunction, because we will see that a dvija is not equated with a devotee. And a devotee is superior to anyone who is a dvija. So therefore, that's why I say we cannot take this as an absolute direction. The most exalted devotee may not be a dvija. Yet, one should take his association. That is preferable to read Bhagavatam, etc. To take his association preferable than to take one who may be a Brahmin but not a Vaishnava. Mm-hmm. So of course we get the combination of Brahmin and Vaishnava, very good. But if he's not a Vaishnava, then that also is useless. It is not actually good. Why? Because they're all in the gunas. So the real association is the association of the devotee, whatever he is. So the varna does not really matter as far as a devotee is concerned. If one has association of devotees and Buddhas, that is the best. So in the Nectar of Devotion there, when it talks about Sangha, one of the angas of bhakti, it means association with like-minded devotees. So there's no mention of varnas or anything at all. It is simply those who have similar type of devotion, one should associate with those persons, and especially those persons who have a taste for the Bhagavatam. So there's no mention of varna in that qualification at all, only those who have wonderful taste for the Bhagavatam. We see in the case of Sukadeva, of course, they didn't also take second initiation. He was not twice born. He ran away from the house before they could give Upanayana. So technically he was also not twice born. Of course, maybe he came back and took this thing, I don't know. Maybe he got his thread later on. But in any case, the qualification is not that at all. And therefore, Sukadeva was not interested in such things at all. He was beyond that as a, not even as a devotee, but simply as a aparama. He was not interested in such things. Then he became a devotee afterwards. But anyway, the qualification is not being a dvija or whatever. It's actually being a devotee of the Lord. That's the real qualification. Well, that does not mean sama in that sense. It means who has similar type of bhakti. In other words, he also worships Krishna with devotion rather than, let's say, Ram or Nishama or Vishnu or whatever.
Some ISKCON devotees, they take Upanayana from outside ISKCON devotees.
Well, it's not really defined within the Sampradaya as such, because it's not important as far as development is concerned. The real concern is simply bhakti. That is a Vedic samskar. For instance, Lord Chaitanya took his Upanayana when he was 5 years old, whatever. We don't really hear about it. at all those people took, but that's not the important element. Then they took Diksha sometime later on. Vaishnava Diksha. Yeah, well, the problem is, I think that's a wrong terminology. We call it Brahman Diksha, but that's not the importance of it. The importance of it is Vaishnava Diksha. It's not becoming a Brahman that's important, it's becoming a Vaishnava. So we get Vaishnava mantras in that Diksha. That is the important part. And because of that, you're qualified as a Brahman also, so it's a secondary element, which generally was not there before Bhaktisiddhanta. That was done separately, completely. But you can't combine the two just to show the superiority of the Vaishnava over the Brahman. Not that the Brahman is the Vaishnava or the Brahman superior. That's all. So we should not confuse the two things. If we do, then that makes bhakti material. Because Brahman is also a material thing, whereas bhakti is beyond the goodness.
What is the word siddhi refer to?
Just perfection. Not doesn't mean yoga perfections.
Thank you.